The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from the Movement.
Good morning. Again, hey, turn to somebody and say Happy New Year. Turn to your second choice and say you too, I guess. Awesome. How many of you just hate to turn to your neighbor? Would you raise your hand right now? Awesome. Would you turn that person with their hand up and just say, hey, so glad to have you here today? That's my favorite thing to do. Man, we are glad you're here. This is one of our favorite Sundays. We call this Sunday Time Capsule Sunday. This is our third year to do this. Every last Sunday of the year, we take a minute to be intentional with our faith and intentional with our praise. And so today, at the end of the service, all of you got one of these on your seats. We've given you what we call a time capsule card. And I'm going to be challenging you today to be thinking through the top 10 prayer requests that you have for 2015. The top 10 prayer requests. You see, I believe this. And we'll give you a chance at the end. You don't have to do it yet. But I believe that life doesn't happen by accident. It happens through intentionality. And that's not just to do with our goals and our dreams and our desires, but also our spirituality and what God does in us and through us. It's kind of like Christmas, right? Obviously Christmas comes every December 25th, but I didn't realize until I had children of my own that my parents were very intentional and strategic about the traditions and the things that we celebrate. Every Christmas morning when we would wake up and come around the corner, we would see what Santa Claus had brought the night before. And I didn't realize until I had kids of my own what actually happened the night before. Can I get an amen? Right, 3 a.m. with a stinking wrench that's too small for your hand. You're trying to make things happen. Y'all, anyway, so just in case kids are listening. And so it took intentionality to make that happen. And I fear, or I'm concerned that so many people, Christ's followers or not, are living life accidentally instead of intentionally. So we take this Sunday to do two things. To look back through the course of 2014 and remember the faithfulness of God and look forward through the year 2015 with an expectation and a hope for the continued faithfulness of God. You see, unfortunately, it's easy for us to remember the bad seasons and the bad things and the frustrating things and the struggles and the trials and the tribulations. Those are easier to see when we look back than the great things that happen. In fact, if I was to ask you about this year, you might be able to name one or two things that were very amazing or great for you, but it'd be easy for you to list off the things that were frustrating or troublesome. And I found that in this job that I do as a pastor, I have conversations with people that they say, I just don't know if I hear God or see God moving in my life. And I just look at them and say, that's because you're not necessarily paying attention. And so we take this Sunday to write down the things that God, we're expecting God to do in the year to come. And then in November, a week or two before Thanksgiving of 2015, we'll mail out the cards and you get to recount the faithfulness of God in your life. Because every January 1st that we experience brings a whole new promise for you and for me. We filmed a few of the testimonies, but unfortunately we had some challenges technically with the video, so I have to share with you some of the things that happened. And we literally have probably in this room or in this building three women who were specifically praying, God, we want another child. We'd love to have another child. God, would you do something this year to bring another child? And there right now there are three women in the church that are pregnant. They were praying for that all through 2014. And then one of our very own leaders in this church, Gurley and Scott Gordy. Would you throw this picture up? They are praying for baby Dean. I think you have the picture. They were praying in January. Look at that baby. In January, she got pregnant, and then now we have the joy. Gosh, can we just stop for a moment? Who wants to hold that baby right now? I prayed for a baby. My wife said, stop praying for that baby right now in Jesus' name. But that's an awesome answer to prayer. Come on. You can't throw that at me like that. I don't even know. And another couple wrote down on her card, actually Jaslyn wrote down on her card, she said, God, I just pray that my relationship with my boyfriend Garrett would grow stronger. And on November 29th, that's not Garrett, I don't think. Stop throwing up pictures of babies. Nobody's listening to me anymore, okay? November 29th, check this out, what happened with Jaslyn and Garrett. That's pretty awesome. Everybody go, aw. Now let's clap for them because she said yes. And that's a pretty cool answer to prayer. My single folks are like, I am writing that down on top, number one. A good-looking spouse with lots of money. Make sure you include that lots of money part. Anyways, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, so be thinking through that. And hey, look at me. I know some of you came in here maybe wavering in your faith. Maybe this is a last-ditch effort for you. I want to challenge you. I mean, what have you got to lose? Write down 10 things that you're expecting God to do. And let's just watch and see. Let's just watch and see. You might not see every prayer request answered, but I guarantee you, you'll see God move in a way you never thought possible. And what we'll do as a church is we'll be praying for those prayer requests every week. We're going to pray that God will move and move in a powerful way. And we do this the last Sunday because every January 1st has a promise for you and for me. I want to take about 15 minutes and share about three things that I believe January 1st creates for you and for me. Three things that when we wake up January 1st in the morning, it's a brand new promise for everyone. Not just an accident. It's something fresh and something new. And I want to challenge you, don't just look at it as a way to party the night away on the 31st, but let's look at what God's going to do in 2015 in our life, because every January 1st is, number one, is a chance to leave something behind. Every January 21st gives us a chance to leave something behind. Some of you think, I'm leaving my spouse behind. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's a chance for you and I to leave something behind, a bad habit, an issue, a problem, something we've been holding on to for years or decades or weeks or months. Listen to this. This is 1 John 1:9. This is God's promise for you and for me. It says this, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he's faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, listen to this part, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's not a promise just for one day, one moment when you pray a prayer, raise a hand, and get dunked in a baptismal pool, but he'll continually cleanse us. What does that mean? There's always a chance every January 1st to leave something behind. Something we've been holding on to. We just finished a series on baggage, and maybe some of you in this room are still holding on to some baggage. January 1st is a reminder for you and for me that we can leave it behind in 2014. You know, I fear that for some of us, perfection is the goal. Perfection is the goal. And because of that, when we don't attain perfection, we feel like we're constantly failing. We hear the truth of God's word spoken in a church service, or we read it for ourselves in the Bible, or we know we need to get rid of this thing, this habit that we've been holding on to, this baggage. And every time I try, I seem to fail. Because for so many of us, we're aiming at perfection. And the problem is we can't reach ever. We cannot reach in this life perfection. It'll never happen. And so as a result, so many of us are living a life full of condemnation or living a life in the swamp of sadness. If you're raised in the 80s, you should know what that means. In 1984, one of the greatest movies ever came out. I think we have a picture of the cover. It's called A Never-Ending Story. How many of you have seen that movie? Raise your hand. The rest of you are praying for your salvation today. Listen, 1984, it's 30 years ago, okay? None of you are too old or too young to have seen that. It's a great movie. It's about a boy who flies on a dragon dog. We don't even know what it really is, but that's it. And there's a time where the prince, Atreyu, is walking through the swamp of sadness with his horse, Artax. Turn to your neighbor and say, Artax. So I'm a little bit of a sci-fi junkie. Get over it. And the swamp of sadness is this. It's a reminder of all of the imperfections that I have. And Atreyu's trying to pull Artax out of the swamp. But Artax is completely surrounded by mud and bog and reminded of his inability to get out. And so slowly, little by little, Artax sinks. And it may seem silly or foolish, but I believe for some of us who look at perfection as a goal, we find ourselves slipping into a sea of condemnation, of guilt and of shame, thinking we can never be perfect and there's no more hope. For some of us, however, perfection is merely an excuse. I can't change everything, so I might as well not even try to change anything. There's so much. I mean, I can't be perfect. I can't live up to the standards of the Bible. Therefore, there's no way I should even continue to try because it just isn't going to happen. So I'll do absolutely nothing. And I believe that many of us, maybe even in this room today, are living in a self-induced spiritual or emotional coma. Completely inactive with the things that we need to shift, change, or shape up in our life. Maybe it's habits or challenges that we face. And we're living in a self-induced coma, spiritually and emotionally. And the problem is that when we live in a coma, our spiritual and our emotional muscles begin to atrophy. And they stop working. Now look at me. And this is where pastors come in. Unfortunately, one of the biggest parts of my job is to put all the pieces back together. I tell you, one of the greatest phrases that I hear all the time that I'm so sick of hearing is we just fell out of love. No, you didn't. You don't fall in love, by the way. Love is a feeling and an emotion, and you have to work at it. We talked about this in a series we did not too long ago. And you say, well, I'm just falling, Pastor, I don't love her like I used to. Just don't feel that passion. Just don't feel that chemistry anymore. Well, maybe, just maybe, you've allowed yourself emotionally and spiritually to slip into a coma. I can't change everything, so I won't change anything. Your muscles begin to atrophy, and you don't even know how to love anymore. Or maybe you don't even feel worthy of love. You know, I hear all the time, too, is, you know, I just spent so long. There was a season, there was a time in my life when I would read the word, and every word, every phrase would jump off the pages and hit me in the chest. And now when I go to it, I get bored and my eyes wander. I'm thinking about the bills I have to pay and what I have to do tomorrow. Or when I'm in church, I just don't feel that anymore. Well, you know what? I'm sorry to say this. The scripture says that Jesus has never left us nor forsaken us. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't ever stop talking. He's constantly moving. But maybe you've allowed the spiritual muscles of your life to slip into atrophy, using perfectionism as an excuse. But remember, every January 1st is a chance to leave something behind. So maybe you can't change everything this year. And maybe perfection isn't the goal. But I want to challenge you right now. You can work on one thing. You can change one thing this year. You can pick one area of your life and say, this is the one thing that needs to change, that needs to shift. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe you're addicted to smoking and it's been a problem for years. Maybe this is the year to give that up. Maybe you have an unhealthy addiction to alcohol. Maybe this is the year to give that up. Maybe you have an unhealthy addiction to drugs or prescription medication. This is the year to give that up. Well, marijuana is legal in Colorado. It isn't in California. Shut your mouth. I was talking to a guy the other day. He had this season of life where he just went buck wild crazy. I said, did you get into drugs? He goes, no. I mean, I smoked marijuana, but that's not the same. I said, yes, it is, actually. It got tense in here. We'll start Celebrate Recovery this week, and we can all jump in, all right? Hey, look at me. Don't act like your private rebellion isn't hurting people in your life. Some of you need to make some changes, and today is a great day to start. Every January 1st is a reminder of something we can leave behind. I just got myself off track with that one. Hey, maybe this year is the year to quit lying. Habitual lying. Maybe this is the year to stop lusting. You have an addiction to pornography, and I don't care what you say. There's no biblical standard for that. Hey, husbands, wives, don't bring that into the marriage room, the bedroom. Please don't do that. It'll destroy your marriage faster than you can think. And this is the year. Maybe it's on your phone, and you're readily available. You know all the places, all the sites. Well, it's not really technically pornography because they're clothed. Well, are you lusting? Then you need to just cut that out. Are y'all tracking with me? Listen, here's the thing. We can't keep living our life like it's okay living accidentally and then think that we're going to end up in the right place as we go along and go further on in our journey. This is the year to make some adjustments. Are y'all tracking with me? The year.
Boom.
This is the year to make some adjustments. So listen, if lust is the issue, hey, there's no shame in this room or condemnation. But this is the year to get rid of that issue. This is the year. And every January 1st is a reminder you can leave one thing behind. Maybe this is the year to get rid of anger. Whenever something goes wrong in your house, you explode and you erupt on your family. You spout off words that pierce and penetrate like a sword through the heart. This is the year to get rid of it. Maybe you've lived a life of manipulating the people that are around you, and you're so good that you believe your own manipulation. This is the year to leave it behind. You may not be able to change everything. Maybe you're like me, and your list goes on and on and on. That's okay. Just pick one thing. And this January 1st, leave it behind. And look at me. You can. January 1st is a reminder of that for you. You can leave it behind. I love what the scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4 says this. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. You can. You can do it. You can get victory. Even if you are your greatest enemy. Even if the way that you think and live your life, you are on a self-destructive path. God will give you victory against your own self. I'm telling you, January 1st is a reminder of that you can leave things behind. Every January 1st is a fresh start. Every January 1st is a fresh start. It's a fresh start, so dream big. And for some of you, you need to dream again. Dream big. And for some of you, look him in the eyes, it's time to dream again. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says this. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. Some of you have allowed the dreaming portion of your life to slip into atrophy. Some of you had dreams when you were 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 years old, and everything happened in life. You got married, had kids, have a career, and that dream has slowly slipped away. But don't forget that God is the giver of dreams. Dream big. Dream again. Hey, look at me. When was the last time you sat down with your spouse or you sat down with the Bible and maybe some worship music and just said, okay, God, what are the dreams that you have for me this year and in 5 years and in 10 years? This right here, this thing that you're sitting in, not the theater, but this church, is the product of a dream. 2006, God kind of birthed this dream in our heart. For 6 years, it lay dormant until finally in 2011, he began to fan the flame of that dream. And we just started by asking the question, what if we could be a part of a church that was full of passionate people? You're here. What if we could be a part of a church full of people building authentic relationships? It's happening. And it just started by fanning the flame of the dream and saying, God, what do you want to do? What are the possibilities? I don't want to live my life in a boring, lame existence. What are the big things that you have for me? Every January 1st is a fresh start. It's a fresh start, so dream big and dream again. It's a fresh start, so expand your territory. Expand your territory. Expand your territory. This is the year to go where you've never gone before, to do the things that you've always talked about doing, to stop making the excuse that I just don't have enough time. The greatest things that have happened in life happen with people who say, I don't have enough time, but I'm going for it anyways. This is the year. Well, I don't know how to do that. There's so much on my plate. I don't know how to go further or faster, do what I want to do in my life. Well, listen, if you want to expand your territory, you have to expand your capacity. So master the things that God's given in your hand. Learn how to do it so well that there can no longer be an excuse that would prohibit you from doing the things that God's called you to do. Hey, look at me in the eyes for a moment. Stop limiting yourself. Dream big. Expand your territory. Expand your capacity and say, God, what do you want to do this year in my life? It's a fresh start. So expand your territory and stop saying, I don't have enough time. You master the things that God's given you in your hand to steward and take care of. You sit back and watch the amazing things that God will do in you and through you. That scripture that we just read, in another passage, another version of the scripture, says he's able to do immeasurably and abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. So don't limit yourself. It's a fresh start. It's a fresh start. So ask the Holy Spirit to show you the one thing to work on in your life. We've already talked about leaving something behind. So now, God, what is it you want me to craft in my life? What are the things inside of me that you want to do specifically? Some of you said, when I said, hey, ask the Holy Spirit, like, I don't even know how to hear from God. Well, that's a great place to start. This year, God, I'd like to know what it's like to hear from you. Hey, look at me. Don't act like it's not possible. When I was 5 years old, 5 years old, some of you have heard my story before. I'll never forget this. My family was on a trip from Dallas to Orlando going to Walt Disney World. And we were traveling across Interstate 10 in Louisiana. And there's a stretch of about 50 miles over a swampland. And my parents had a good time van, wall-to-wall shag carpet and a little hole in the center. You could put a post and put a table on top and party before they made you wear seatbelts. Thanks for the pity laugh. I know you've heard this story before, but some of you need to hear it today. I'll never forget, 5 years old, looked out the back window, laying down on the couch that would lay out into a bed. I said, God, what do you want me to be when I grow up? 5 years old. I'll never forget, it was audible to me. I don't care if anybody else heard it to this day. You could never change my mind about this. I said, God, what do you want me to be when I grow up? He said, I've called you to be a missionary. So from that point on, I told everyone who asked, I'm going to be a missionary to Africa. A missionary to Africa. I don't know why my dad just liked Africa. Now we feed 150 kids in Africa. It's like a part of God's purpose for my life. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. I got to 9th grade and I felt this tug and this draw towards teenagers to awaken destiny in their life. So they didn't have to live life like everyone else did, but they could live God's purpose for themselves. Sitting in the back of a church room after a camp experience and the worship team was playing, nobody was talking to me, and I just said, God, do you want me to be a missionary or a youth pastor? I'll do whatever you say. You just tell me. I'll never forget it. It was like it was audible. I heard God say, I've called you to be a missionary to your generation. 9th grade. Look what I'm doing right now. Are you tracking with me? Now, some of you might hear that story and think, wow, are you bragging about yourself? No, I'm just telling you, man, God wants to speak to you. January 1st, if you can't identify a time where the Holy Spirit has spoken something to your life, maybe that's your prayer for this year. Holy Spirit, I want to know how to hear your voice.
It doesn't come through a booming sound like this. Kerry Robinson, I have called thee.
More often than not, it's just an impression in your heart. But if you're not attentive and attuned to hear what God says, you won't ever hear it. Some of you are thinking, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And yet you're sitting in a room next to people because we just followed the voice of God. It's a fresh start. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to work on in my life? You know, a great place to start is Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes we try to be so crazy and so holy and memorize the Bible and talk really spiritual and pray really powerful. It doesn't have to be that crazy at all. Galatians 5:22 is a great place to start. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love. Maybe this year is a year for you to be the embodiment of love. And when people get around you, they don't understand it, but they just feel like you genuinely care about them because you do. Joy or gladness,
peace. Some of you in this room don't even know you haven't experienced peace in 15 years. Anxiety is all you experience on a regular basis. And when I say the word peace, you think of peace in the Middle East or some creepy song that somebody sings, but you don't even know what that means for your life. And I can tell you right now, the Bible says that God will bring a peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to just brag about Jeremy for a minute, and I didn't ask permission. He's going to get mad at me. You don't know this, but Saturday last week, he got a phone call from his brother, and his mom passed away from a heart attack suddenly. I don't need to explain how that works, right? And he gets up on Sunday morning, less than 24 hours later, and leads us in worship. That's a peace that passes all understanding. There's no strength in humanity to do that. Maybe this year is a year to focus on the peace that passes all understanding. What does that look like? Well, it looks like not trying to manipulate life so it works out to your advantage, but just trusting in the Lord with all your heart. In fact, the Bible says, in leaning not into your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Love, joy, peace. The next one's the hardest one, patience. Maybe that's it for some of us. I'll raise my hand to that one. Patience and even temper. Or forbearance. The next one is kindness. Some of you need to start apologizing when you cut people off on the road instead of giving them the one finger wave. Goodness or benevolence. Faithfulness. What would it look like if this is the year you just stayed committed to your faith in God? Gentleness or meekness and humility. And so the biggest deterrent of a move of God in our life is pride. He can work through sin and sinners. He's been doing it for years. Look at me. But he can never work through pride. Pride simply says, I know better and I got this covered. I don't need you, God. Maybe it's a good place to start. That's a painful one. Get ready for it. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Listen to this. Against such things, there is no law. Does that mean you can do whatever you want if you exhibit those fruits of the Spirit? Well, if you do, you're not going to break the law. You should be driven by love and kindness, goodness, and self-control. So ask the Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to work on? I'm going to leave that habit behind, and I'm going to work on this as I move forward. Because every January 1st is a fresh start. And every January 1st, look at me, is a reminder that God's not done with you yet. He's not done or finished writing your story. That's worth a big amen. Maybe you look back and you see bumps and bruises and pitfalls and trenches and devastation, but you're here today. You didn't throw in the towel. You may be down, but you're not out. And every January 1st, in fact, every morning that you wake up is a reminder that God's not finished with your story yet. So what does 2015 hold for you? God has plans beyond your wildest imagination, so it's time to begin to dream again. He has great expectations and hope for you. In fact, Jeremiah 29:11, the most read verse in all the Bible except for John 3:16, says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. The very end of the scripture says a plan and a promise to give you a hope and a future. Look in my eyes. God's not finished writing your story yet. Look at me. And this year is going to be the greatest year of your life. What do you believe in God to do? That's why we take the last Sunday of the year. We take this little piece of paper and we fill out 10 things. It's a step of faith for some. For some, we don't even want to write it down. But it's just to write it down, to take it out of your mind and to put it on paper. God, I'm believing that this year you're going to do, and you fill it out. It may be the first time you vocalized it. You need to know that we'll be putting this in a box. Nobody's going to go through and read these, but we are going to send them via the U.S. Postal Service. So maybe write code for some of your prayers. Beep, boop, beep, bop, and bop. Oh, got it now. You're going to keep one, and we're going to get one. So write your address legibly. If you're listening online, we'd love to get you one of these as well. You can email us at info@theocmovement.com. And we'll send you one of these, and you can send it back. All right. So if you don't mind just pausing for a minute. If you're still writing, that's okay. You can hang here after service, and you can continue to write. We're going to, in a moment, you can put them in the containers as they pass, or you can slip them in this giving station right here at the hallway. It's fine, so you have time. But we're going to take a moment. Where's my wife at? Maybe come on up here. We're going to pray. And hey, can I just tell you, listen, as a pastor, as your pastor of Movement Church, my greatest hope for you, the team that really pulls this stuff together, our greatest hope for you is that you'll see God move in your life in a powerful way this year. And I'm telling you, if you just watch with expectation and with hope, you'll see him blow your mind. Can we pray? Would you guys do me a favor? Just as a sign of faith, would you just hold that card up? Just kind of hold it up right here. And we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for the prayer requests there. I'm going to pray for all those that are still being written. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you're a good and a faithful and a merciful God. God, we just thank you that every request matters to you. The ones that are huge and the ones that seem insignificant, none are insignificant to you. All of them matter. And God, your scripture says to make our requests known to you. So God, we wrote these things down and we're saying, God, would you move in 2015 in a powerful and an awesome way? And God, we're expecting you to do what only you can do, and that is to be God. You're the only one qualified for the job, and you still are today a miracle working God. So in this moment, in this room, we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you and in you alone. In Jesus' powerful and precious name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, for a moment, if you're here today and you don't know where you stand in your faith and in your walk with Jesus, the Bible talks about a gap that is separating us from God. It's called a sin gap, and all of us have it. And that sin requires a ransom or a payment. And God sent his son Jesus to pay the ransom for my sin and for yours. He died on the cross for you and for me. And if you've never had a real relationship with Jesus, it's as simple as saying, I want to be yours. You don't have to get perfect. You don't have to be fixed and all everything in order. You can just stay in one moment, Jesus, I want to be yours. And if you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer, made that decision, we don't want to embarrass you. We just want to give you a chance to respond. So one more time, I'm going to ask, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room? If you're here and you've never prayed that prayer, we aren't going to ask you to get out of your seat or even move, but just between you and God, would you just, in your own heart, repeat this prayer after me? Just say, God, I love you. I know you're real. I know you've given me purpose. And I know that sin is a separator between you and me. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price. Would you forgive me my sins? And just right where you're seated, just say this phrase. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.